Great, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Mayor Dorit.
Yes, Councilmember McCormick.
I'm kind of unsure about the procedure here, so I apologize for that. But I was hoping, perhaps as we have the rules suspended now, if we could perhaps hear from Chief Simmons on what BPD's process is for responding to these cases.
Chief Simmons, if you're available and able to speak a bit about Bethel Police Department response, now is your opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. As our partners on the SART multidisciplinary team have already pointed out, it's a team approach. The process of each one of these things, it's a very humanistic way of looking at a very social problem. We've got some serious problems here in town, and sometimes they culminate in a very personal problem for an individual that then has to make a lot of decisions that both the hospital staff and TWC staff are very good at helping them guide through. There's no right answer on anything that somebody that's gone through that can make. Obviously, in my profession and the years that I've been doing this, I strive very hard to make it to where we can hold people accountable for their criminal actions and hopefully making it to where it doesn't happen again. Bethel Police Department, unfortunately, has big city problems, and the amount of attention that's been given to it over the last several years hasn't kept up with the growth of the city and the problems that go on with it. Point blank, when we only have two officers on and nobody is doing follow-up on investigations because your investigators are taking care of 911 calls, then these investigations are going to drag out sometimes for months. These other partners, and really I'm sort of leery at how much to say, because it's already been said a couple times, and the reading between the lines that you guys don't really want to hear from me, which is disturbing, but I really would rather you guys honestly bring somebody in from the outside that you do trust, have them look it over. I've given my debrief concerning this whole thing to my boss, and I've made some steps to try to keep some of these things from happening again. But the long story short is, to quote Lieutenant Amy Davis, the Bethel Police Department's a house of cards, because there's never really been anything that's put it in place to where we don't have turnovers and horrible staffing problems. And I really don't see how we're going to have the type of department that the citizens here want until we can get that stuff in place. Miss Aline mentioned training and the amount of stuff that we do. It's important. But when would be the question, and it's not obviously for her, but she's right. When do we get this stuff, and how do we get people to it? And when we still have a responsibility for 24/7 coverage. I've put several types of bits of information out in the 8 months that I've been here. Every month I've put out the numbers for the police department. And I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. Our violent crime rate is horrible compared to anywhere else in the United States. Quite frankly, trying to keep up with that with just a few people that we have, and the Herculean effort that they put forth towards it, is quite amazing. I've been physically ill because I know what's really going on with the investigations, but because state law precludes me from sharing it with the public, because certain people's rights to fair trials and other people's rights to privacy, All I can do is ask you guys to, one, appoint somebody that you trust, and two, to let the process go through the criminal procedure that it needs to go through. Things take time, and I think ultimately what you'll find is even with the delay in picking up the kit, the case itself is a solid case, and it's exactly where it needs to be. Our process, yes, we've had some things that we can do for our process, and Miss Sears with the hospital and I have been talking over the last couple of weeks to put a couple other things in place, and PD to put a couple other things in place. Well, we now have an automated process that we call over, regardless of what we may or may not have over there. We call twice a week just to make sure, and then we'll swoop in and get it if we have something. The stuff doesn't sit around our office too often. It's going to get out, shot out pretty quick too, because it needs to. That makes everybody feel better about the case, and quite frankly, it's the right thing to do. Delays in response can be from all sorts of different things. And ultimately each one of the cases is it's a person and it's individuals, and there's no cookie cutter way of doing it. We try to adhere to doing it a certain way most of the time, and I think we succeed at that. And then sometimes it just doesn't work the way we wanted it to. But again, I would ask you guys, not only in this public setting, but in your private relationships with the various people that we have sitting here and other folks that are listening to it, reach out to TWC, reach out to the folks on the SART team there at the hospital, have a cup of coffee with them and discuss the things that they're willing to discuss at length. And I think you'll be a lot more comfortable with what goes on around here than what a specific news article has said concerning a specific case, which is tragic, but not everything's been put out concerning it, nor can we. I sort of rambled and I apologize, but this is the first time in all of these weeks I've had an opportunity to say something public. So I took advantage of it. So I apologize for that, Mr. McCormick, but I also appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Chief Simmons.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, a couple of questions for the chief there. You alluded to it just now, Chief, and I've heard you say it, in person. You may have said it at previous council meetings about the level of violent crime that occurs in Bethel that we don't hear about it on KYUK. We don't read about it in the paper. Can you give us a Saturday night snapshot of Bethel, and compare that to the size of the patrol staff on any given shift?
Yeah, I can probably give a pretty good synopsis here. First, according to the Uniform Crime Reporting, that's numbers that are garnered by the FBI all across the United States. And they look at these numbers, they take our numbers and they pretty much divide it by the population, where you get a per capita ratio. The easy way to say it is about 96.5% of all the other cities in the whole United States have less violent crime than Bethel does. We live in the top 5% of violent crimes reported. Again, I don't think that's necessarily surprising to everybody that deals with the victims on a regular basis. Your firefighters certainly aren't surprised by it. And I think that's one of the driving factors between the not only the levels of violence, but the sheer volume of calls that continually drives officers to leave in this place after a year or two. I can tell you back when, I think it was March 15th, I might be a little bit off on the date, but it was earlier in the month at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday or Tuesday or something like that. I happened to walk down in the dispatch and look over the shoulder of the dispatcher, and we were sitting on top of 10 calls. And that's not uncommon all weekend long, all night long. anytime that there's a big influx of cash at the first of the month, that happens. Anytime there's a Friday or Saturday night, it's happening. To the tune of last year, 2020, we had a little over 13,000 calls for service. And if you figure in that, yes, we have 16 officer positions, but in reality, because of our vacancies, we're typically only stuck with about 12 or 13. And then you sort of control for officers that take off or that do need to go to mandatory training or anything else. It comes out to, I want to say 1100, 1200, and it's probably 1100 calls on average per officer. Now that's a bunch of numbers. Reality is what it is that officers that are needing to be investigating long-term cases aren't. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, we had a two-year-old murdered in this town. We took the case and ran one with it. We asked for support from the state crime lab to process the crime scene itself because we wanted to make sure that we had that taken care of. And quite frankly, the five officers that we had in town, that was it. They were all on it. It was all hands on deck. And that's still trying to handle the other calls that continued to come in. According to our population, we have the right amount of officers, but according to our call volume, we're one of the busiest cities in the state of Alaska. To get us back down to something that looked a little bit closer to some of the other cities, it would take roughly 10 to 12 officers, that are actually working, not vacancies, to get us to where we had probably 500-ish average calls a year, making it to where our investigators now weren't answering calls, but they were handling those investigations. So again, that's sort of a long answer to your short question, but it's like all staffing, it's, we deal with people. So a call isn't necessarily always simple. But from the time the guys get on the weekend to the time they get off, they're backed up typically. And then they're putting a little bit of overtime in to finish up reports and stuff to try to, you know, go rack out for 12 hours or whatever, and then they're back at it again. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, thanks. And my other question is, what's the current investigative load on sexual assault cases? Just a rough number.
I don't have the rough number. We had, I just sent them in and now I don't remember exactly. I think we had for the month of March, we actually had 9 different sexual assault cases come in. That's both adult and child. And so besides the initial response and dealing with that at the hospital and with our partners, then we start stepping off into all other aspects that we have to deal with, including, you know, if it's possible, we're looking on ways to try to get search warrants for locations. We're trying to get search warrants on actors if we can possibly do that. And then we start trying to work on what we can do to make it to where we can get arrest warrants on these folks. Because Alaska has a very interesting law that says that you have to be able to go to trial within 120 days of being arrested. That also puts us in a very interesting spot sometimes when we're waiting for things to come back, even if we have probable cause to arrest. If we arrest them right then, and then all of our stuff doesn't come back to the DA's office within 120 days, then it creates problems of having to cut them loose. I'm not from here. Those are a little bit odd laws for me, but it's something that we have to take into consideration. And that's why we work so closely with Tom Hoffer's folks at the DA's office when we have these serious cases like this, because it's not something that a brand new officer does. And it's not in the career field, a detective, just like you guys see on all the movies, that's actually sort of right. It needs to be somebody that's been here for a long time and knows people and has ways of doing business and has the trust of folks and has a lot of experience dealing with it. But yeah, the caseload itself, just this month, we had that many roll in. That's not counting the murder. That's not counting a couple other deaths that we had that we have to look into, and that's not counting the aggravated assaults or any other type of crazy felonies that we have. So It's substantial.
Thanks, Chief. And just a question, the mayor, is there a representative of the district attorney?
I have not recognized a participant at this meeting as a representative of the DAO, and Eileen is shaking her head now.
Okay, thanks.
Chief, this is Perry. I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
So one of the chronic problems that I know from being prior law enforcement in my career is I always carried a caseload, and that caseload sometimes would be 30, 40, 50 cases that I was investigating. Some of the investigations were done. A lot of it was just writing the reports and putting it all together so it can get submitted to the district attorney's office. Just off the top of your head, do you have a count as to maybe how many cases your officers are carrying?
The actual investigators typically handle the more complicated ones, the simple arrests, the simple investigations into misdemeanor, even some of the felony domestic violence. The patrol officers will actually handle once we have to step off into things concerning search warrants or you know, lengthy arrest warrants and stuff. Yeah. And you're right. It's probably sitting at about 35 open cases as far as needing follow-up and requiring, you know, follow-up interviews and follow-up, you know, everything from pictures to like you said, getting the cases together. And obviously when that's going on, and then they're also having to answer calls, that it's not, it's just point blank, it's not happening. Or they're trying to do it in between calls, which you guys have all had those days where you seem like you restarted the same thing that was sitting on your desk four or five different times throughout the day and never quite got it done. And that's what these guys run into. I've walked into the investigator's office several times over the, you know, well, do it daily, but they have a list up there on the wall of all the follow-up stuff that they're currently chasing down. And they've got about 10 cases up there right now that they're actively chasing different types of leads on. And then two investigators obviously have stuff all over their office concerning some of the more major things that we have. 30 though was probably be about right. I would probably say maybe down to 25, but that's because just some of the other stuff is handled by the other officers.
Thank you, Chief, for that answer. Just to follow up, just being, again, prior law enforcement, I do understand and know that writing reports takes a lot of time. During your typical day, if they're not responding to calls, what would you say that how much time are your officers spending on report writing?
Well, again, we have numerous reports, again, because the call volume is so crazy. They're in there doing reports regularly. If they're not doing those reports, then they are following up on their other stuff. They answer and try to send out information as they need to over to the DAs as they're processing their things too. It's a digital world, and we try to do, you know, as much of it as we can on each one of our own cases. Then the investigators will pick up things that when the other guys are off, don't forget, I don't have one police department. I have two police departments. I got one that works 2 weeks, and then I got another one that works 2 weeks. And so when something from one rotation rolls into the other, those guys are trying to pick up that too and trying to help out. But daily, it would come out to, there's probably a couple hours worth of a day that are filled in with just report writing alone. Yeah, and that's not all sitting down at one time. That's, again, in between, interspersed with the calls that are coming in.
Thank you, Chief.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Chief Simmons, for answering those questions. Now back to some council member discussion on the agenda item, evaluating and improving the investigation, processing, and prosecution of reported sexual assault cases within the Bethel criminal justice system.
Madam Mayor.
Council Member Springer.
Yeah, thanks. You know, we, when you say the criminal justice system, it includes the court system, includes the correction system. You know, what we, the concern that's been raised publicly and to the council is the way the police department, their length of time to do a call, and the fact that evidence was left possibly longer than it should have been. So what I heard tonight, particularly from the chief, was a couple of things, that the police department is understaffed, and what the council can do there in the budget is either create more positions for more officers. And even if we do that, they're going to have to be compensated to a degree that will attract them to come to work here. We hear, you know, constantly that we're losing officers that are moving to other communities in the state where they might be. Everybody knows that violent behavior, criminal behavior, sexual assault is endemic in Bethel. There's no question about it. One question that the community and the council can agree to it addresses is how do we deal with that? Law enforcement's not the only answer or the whole answer. We just can't expect, well, people are going to be bad and we'll arrest them and we'll throw them in jail and hope they get prosecuted. So we have to look at it from a little bit more global of a perspective, at least in my view. The chief did allude to the fact that if I heard him correctly, and I think I did, he was describing the case that has been discussed in front of the council, has been discussed in the press. I think he described it as a pretty good case from the perspective of law enforcement. That's good to hear. They've got evidence. They've got statement from the victim. I don't know what they got for witnesses, but just the chief saying, yeah, you know, this is a pretty solid case, shows that I think they're doing their job. It might not be as fast as the victim would like, but I don't think there's a crime victim anywhere, victim of any crime, who thinks that the police work fast enough. And I'm not saying any of this to discount, the victim of this particular case, her concerns or anything else. I'm not saying that at all, but the fact remains that Bethel is a high crime place. Everybody knows that. And we have got a limited law enforcement presence. We can't even look to the state troopers because they're working 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. The villages have got the same problem as far as response time, sometimes worse. So I think we need to look at, again, the global perspective. What can we do? What can happen in Bethel to try to reduce the amount of violent crime, the amount of sexual assault? You know, we have awareness of it. What can we do to prevent that? What can we do to make sure that the police department has the resources that they need? And that's really the council's role, is to make sure they have the resources that they need. That's in the budget. And you know what, if people think that we need three more police officers and less people in another position, then please, at budget time, you know, give us your opinions. And, you know, we'll try the best that we can. So thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you for that, Councilmember Springer. I thought it might be a good opportunity, given this agenda item, to consult the city attorney and talk and hear from her a little bit about what some of our options might be for moving forward. Attorney Bacalar, are you online?
Yes, I am here. So one of the things that I think is a very viable option for the council, and something that the various council members and I think members of the public had suggested, would be, and I think Chief Simmons suggested it as well, would be to get a third party consultant into the mix to evaluate, basically as the agenda item is being described, the Bethel PDs, not necessarily this specific case, but perhaps this specific case, the start processes, possible trainings needed, systems that we have in place, what's on paper, what's not, what needs to be fixed, what works. And there's a provision in the procurement code. It's 4.2170 that allows the city council to solicit, evaluate, and select consultants to assist them in performance of their duties without the necessity of following the formal procedures for procurement of services set forth in the code, and that the city council shall direct the method and criteria for obtaining consultant services by resolution setting forth the urgent situation necessitating the need to bypass the regular procurement processes and demonstrating how the city is obtaining the best possible value. So last week, when some individual city council members, Councilmember McCormick, I believe perhaps Councilmember Henderson as well, reached out to me about the possibility of getting a third party consultant in, I reached out to Rachel Gurnett, who is in private practice now. She's an attorney and a very seasoned sex crimes prosecutor, and does this kind of work all the time. I believe she's online, and since we are in committee of the whole, with Clerk Strickler's permission, and I did ask Rachel if she would be available just to explain, having listened to this meeting, what her thoughts are on what she could offer the council and the community in terms of guiding us to a better place where the public has more confidence in the processes that there are, and the council is taking its obligations to the public seriously in this way. So I do think she is available to speak to that, if that's appropriate. I don't know if Clerk Strickler has an issue with that or not. No, she's shaking her head no. So I don't know if Mayor DeWitt, you would like Ms. Gurnett to kind of give a brief impromptu explanation of her background and what she thinks of what she heard and what she could offer.
Absolutely. Welcome to the meeting. And in full disclosure, so folks know, Rachel Gurnett and I served on the same statewide board for a period of time, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. If you could state and spell your name for the record, and then just maybe give us a brief overview of what you think might be helpful to administration and council moving forward. Thank you and welcome.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. This is Rachel Gurnett. My name is spelled RACHELGERNAT. And I apologize that I'm not on camera. I signed in after a run and didn't expect that I would be speaking. So you don't want to see me right now. So I apologize. It's just my voice. I think what might be helpful is to just give you a little bit background of who I am. I feel like that's important so that you understand where I'm coming from and talking to you. And I did speak to the city attorney the other day, and I've looked in and I've, you know, tried to look at a couple of things that have been going on. And I have trained myself and provided training in Bethel, so I've been out there a number of times. So as the city attorney said, I am a former sex crimes prosecutor. I did that for close to 15 years, and it was something I chose to do. So I was one of those people that showed up and said, I want to learn how to do sex crimes. So I did that as well as all the child pornography and all the felony domestic violence here in the Mat-Su Valley. And I also worked in Anchorage and in Nome, and from Nome I'd go up to Kotzebue. And then I also would have tried cases in Glen Allen, Cordova, Valdez. I think that might be the places I've tried cases. During my tenure as a prosecutor, as well as since then, I have trained in sexual assault response, both for adults and children. So I have been on the statewide sexual assault training team. I made a video that was published or put out by DPS with a couple of other professionals all about the SART process and the proper way to do that. I have traveled around Alaska to very rural places, from Unalaska, Dutch Harbor, to Kodiak, to Utsiagvik, everywhere in between, city on the road system, off the road system, to train both myself and with a training group on SART readiness for individual communities, where we would help them tailor their SART procedures, so their sexual assault response team procedures, to that individual community, being well aware that it is, while there is a framework to follow, it is not a one-size-fits-all situation. And then that training, we were actually asked to go to Texas to present it to the National Domestic Violence Conference, which was in Dallas a couple of years ago, to present our model to people from other states, because I guess it was sort of a novel idea. We were just doing what was necessary for the state. And I've also done similar type training on the military base, on various branches of the military. I did leave prosecution, not because I didn't love it, but because I felt I needed to spend some more time with my own children. But this is my passion, and so I've kept in private practice. In addition to the traditional areas of law, I have also do provide a lot of training, and I've been hired as a consultant in much different in a lot of different areas regarding sex crimes and their policies and procedures. So that's kind of my background in a nutshell. And I do still actually train police departments locally on various issues involving sex crimes and just general investigations as they need that training, because the district attorneys are super busy, as we all know, and you know, they don't really have the time to do that. So that's kind of it, and I'm happy to answer questions about myself if that's what the council wants to know. What the little bit that I do know, and obviously I wouldn't want to be tied to this until kind of getting into it more, but what it sounds like is that you obviously you do want somebody who's independent, and I, you know, I'm independent. I have been to Bethel. I've worked in Bethel. I mean, I've trained in Bethel. I've attended trainings in Bethel. I've been there a number of times. As Michelle said, I was both the vice chair and the chair of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, and then Michelle took over the chair spot when I timed out on that council. And so that's how I, you know Michelle in a professional manner. So I, you know, kind of thinking about it as you, as everybody was talking, you know, it is helpful, I think, to have somebody from the outside, in a way outside. I feel like you need to have somebody that's worked within the system in Alaska, who's worked within the rural systems in Alaska, because there are some nuances that can be missed, and we have some laws that can be funky and can be helpful. And so I think it's really helpful to have a background in prosecution and working with the police departments here in our state on and off the road system. So, and then what can I offer you? I can certainly, you know, I'm very well versed in helping law enforcement and other community partners write policies and procedures related to the investigation of sex assault cases, you know, with an eye towards, you know, doing a proper investigation that if you know, the evidence leads that way, can be refer to the district attorney, and which can be hopefully result in a successful conclusion of the case, whether that's a trial or a plea. And so I've looked at multiple police departments' policies in the past, and you know, looked at what they had and seen, is what's written actually what's being done? And that also involves, and if it's not, why? You know, it's not always for an improper reason. In fact, more often than not, it's not that at all. It can be a lot of different reasons, from change in personnel, as we heard, from a misunderstanding of individuals' roles that are on the team. Again, it just happens. And it just keeps going because that's what's always happened. Before you know it, something happened. Like, you know, my understanding is, you know, you had a case that brought some things to attention that, you know, may have been a one-time thing, may not have been a one-time thing. And it's hard to be in it and then decide, you know, how to make changes if they're needed. So it wouldn't just be, let me look at the police departments and see what needs to be fixed, but how do all these partners work together? And that would involve speaking to the community partners involved in the sex assault team, you know, the district attorney, your SANE, your hospital, your advocates, and if you've added anybody to the team, on occasion, communities will add a mental health counselor, or they'll add somebody else that's on the SART team that might not be on the SART team in a different community, and look at that, and then make recommendations. You know, I'd also talk to other, if need be, experts in the field in Alaska who work in these different industries. And then finally would be training. It is, I mean, I heard the chief, like, that's the complaint of it's a righteous complaint of every police chief is, you know, how do I train my officers? And if I'm not on the road system, how do I get my officers to training? And how do I get my officers to training when I don't have enough officers as it is? And where do I sacrifice so that they can go be trained, and what's going to happen during that time they're getting training? And then a lot of places have a lot of turnover, so you train people and then they leave, and there goes all the training. So in addition to, you know, doing an independent review, I also, and this is what I do, in fact, I'm working on a training here with one of our local police departments for that same reason, is provide training for what you need. And I could do that myself, or I do have a training team, as I said, that's made up of myself, a forensic nurse, and a victim's advocate, where we spend time with your community, if need, revising policies and writing them to fit your community with what's gonna work, not what we think is going to work for you coming from somewhere else. So that's a lot of information. And that's kind of shooting from the hip over what I've kind of learned over the last couple of days. So happy to answer questions, or if you just want to sit with that for a while, I'm okay with that too.
Okay, thank you for that introduction. That was very much appreciated. And I guess I just wanted to share that while Rachel and I do know each other, we haven't spoken for a year and a half, so...
That is correct. In fact, I did not know you were now the mayor, so congratulations.
Okay, does anyone have any questions?
Madam Mayor, this is Henderson. Yes. I do.
Yes, Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rachel, for attending our meeting tonight. I find all the information that you have given us so beneficial, and I feel... that we could, as a community, benefit from that if you did come out and, you know, not only work with our police department, but work with the other SART members and all that to try and strengthen what we have. I know we have a strong team, but listening to everybody's description tonight, it never hurts to learn more and get stronger. So I really do appreciate that comment. I did have a question about the training. You said you've come out and done training before, and unfortunately, I'm sure, I doubt there's an officer there now that was here the last time you did training. But the training that you give, is that a one-time training, or is that something that has to be updated every year? How does that work?
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that, you know, just one other comment you talked about, you know, you have a great team. And I just want people to know it is extremely common. You call it the Storman-Norman cycle in collaborative teams, where there's parts where you're storming, where you're just like, you're on and everything came together and you're like, this, we are awesome. And then there's times where something happens and you're storming in the other way. You're not getting along and it's totally normal. So I don't want people to feel like, you know, whatever's happening, that you're falling apart. I've been on teams and parts of those same cycles. But your question about the training, it's intended that, so the first training is very comprehensive. And then what we do is get your team to where, you know, you need to be, and maybe that involves independent agencies working on some of their own policies and then also working together with the team. And you sit in that, you work within that framework that we come help you come up and develop for, you know, a while. And when you, it can be once and you're done, like, wow, we didn't even know where to start and now we're really good. And when we get to the next level, we'll have you come back. It really takes some team, you know, there's communities that didn't even know what a SART team was, didn't know that they could form one, and never wanted to go to the SART team training because they felt overwhelmed by all the information. And then there's communities like Bethel that already has a SART team, but it probably needs to be revamped. And you're right. When I came into training, I pretty much guarantee you nobody is still there other than, you know, I think – you know, other than probably the advocates, because the advocates seem to be the ones that stay in the community, and the other professionals seem to cycle out. So, yes, no, I would be hard pressed to think that anybody is still there when I was there. But that was also a long time ago. So that I don't, you know, the quick answer is, and then it's up to a police department. I mean, if you want someone to come out because you got four more officers and you want a quick refresher, that's fine too. I've done that. I've been to one of the same communities like three times, part with my team. And then I went out once on my own. And then a couple of the other two training partners went out to help their individual profession. So, I know that doesn't give you an exact answer, but we do send you away after that first training with a very comprehensive plan to work on. And it does take some time to work through that before you would need someone to come back.
Thank you so much. I do have one more question, Madam Mayor. If you were to come out and do all of this, would that also include like a report, or could we request a report on what you feel our police department needs as far as personnel, or are you more with the policies and how it's going to be done?
Okay, let me think. If I understand you correctly, you're saying kind of sort of, would I give a report, and in that report, could that include what they might need for personnel in addition to the policies? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I would make that recommendation knowing, but again, I am not a police officer, so I know, I understand the time that it takes. I mean, I've been working with police and investigators from very small rural areas to, you know, I worked in Anchorage for a year to help out their sex unit. So I worked with APD. So I really worked on the spectrum of cases. So I would, by looking at it, it would be very obvious if officers were bogged down and that they didn't have a time to do proper investigation. And so I would make the recommendation in the report. How many officers would be needed? That would be outside. Like, I couldn't tell you, but what I would be able to say is, you know, here's what you get. For example, here's all the numbers of these cases you get in. This is the type of investigation these cases need. But instead of doing that, I don't know if they have this. If you have a dedicated investigator, instead of spending his or her day investigating it, they're responding to 911 calls. So, you know, and so you really need this, you know, you need these types of positions to dedicate to these types of offenses. The number that ends up at, you know, I would have to, you know, obviously talk to the police chief and to, you know, other officers. Other officers would certainly say, you know, we used, you know, if we had three more police officers, this would be how it would be helpful, or things like that. So that kind of answers your question. So I can generally say yes, but the exact number I probably couldn't give. This is how many it has to be.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you for answering those questions. Much appreciated. All right, council member discussion.
This is council member McCormick.
Yes.
I would just like to add, I absolutely think that this approach of hiring an external party is our best course of action. I feel like hearing from Rachel has only solidified that. It sounds like she's going to do the job that she could do would be much better than what I even envisioned was possible. It's very reassuring to hear that she won't just be working with BPD, but also the other organizations in our town. So I won't make a motion just yet. If anyone has any questions, or excuse me, if anyone has any more discussion on this, but if anyone doesn't, I plan to make a motion for that purpose.
There will also be discussion after the motion, Council Member McCormick.
Okay, in that case, I guess I'll just go ahead and make that motion now, if that's appropriate. Yes, okay. So I make a motion to direct the administration, clerk's office, and a city attorney to execute a contract with Rachel Gurnett to evaluate our sexual assault response and the findings of that to have that reported to the city.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Council Member Springer. Council Member McCormick, as the maker of the motion, you have the opportunity for first debate.
I feel like I just made my argument already. But again, I just think this is the absolute best course of action. This is obviously a rampant problem that we need to address. And I think this is the first step that we can take to really evaluating what we can do to better the situation.
Thank you, Councilmember McCormick. Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, no, I agree with hiring a consultant to take a look at the generally at the issue of the city in particular's response to sexual assault calls, and it's certainly not going to it probably be useful to us in the deliberative process as the months go by.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Do other council members wish to make comments or add discussion?
Madam Mayor, it's kind of a point of order.
Councilmember Springer, will you go ahead and then we'll go to Councilmember Leary?
Yeah, we need to leave committee of the whole.
Oh.
Make motion. So I move we leave committee of the whole.
Thank you, Council Member Springer. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Council Member McCormick. I heard Council Member McCormick first. All those in favor of leaving committee of the whole, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. Thank you, Council Member Springer, for pointing that out. Council Member Leary.
I just want to say I'm so in favor of hiring an outside party to, you know, take a really good look at everything. And I just wanted to say that, I can't fault Chief Simmons for pointing out that we may need additional staffing at the police department. But I think that what has been brought up also warrants a really deep look at the processes to make sure, you know, we're not just adding more officers in and then continuing to do some things that may not, be beneficial to the public for public safety. So I'm really happy that we're looking at this and, you know, maybe maybe we do need to look really closely at hiring additional officers or opening up additional positions. But I don't feel strongly about that, considering we always have open positions. So maybe we need to look more at recruiting, salary. I don't know, you know, but if we've got open positions, I don't think adding more open positions is, you know, is going to be the thing that solves this. So I'm really happy we're moving in this direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member Leary. Additional discussion?
This is Henderson.
Yes, Council Member Henderson.
Yeah, I agree with this independent, or I agree with this motion. I do want our community to feel that they can go to the police department and get what they need and to feel safe. And I think this is a good giant leap on getting to that point. I did bring up adding positions because we have investigators to take care of cases like this, so they're not lost, but unfortunately they're getting lost because we don't have the manpower to cover the phones. And I don't know if that is needing to look at the schedule, figuring out, you know, when, I don't know. I just believe that department needs to be looked at and fixed, because even if we are fully staffed, the amount of crime that happens in this town, and it's not just by Bethel residents, it is a huge, huge issue in our Delta, and it always has been. And I mean, growing up, I can remember seeing 4, 5, 6 police officers on the road at any given time. And now I'm lucky if I get to see a police car once a week. And so, and our town has grown quite a bit. And I just believe that we need to beef up our police department and our fire department, but that's a whole nother discussion. But I think this is a big step in heading in the right direction on fixing the lack of trust that we currently have in this town. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member Henderson. Additional discussion? Before we vote, I will add to the discussion that I will fully support moving forward with this contract for an independent evaluation of our response to sex crimes. And I think that the ensuing information will only help the police department, city administration, and this council, as well as the community, to know how we're doing and where we can potentially improve. So I see this as a very positive step forward. And I want to thank our guests for coming today to help inform the debate, and Councilmember McCormick for making sure this agenda item was on the agenda, and the city team for helping to facilitate this. So thank you. Any other discussion? All right, City Clerk Strickler, I think we're ready to roll call vote.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson.
Yes.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, everybody. The next.
Yes.
I am so sorry. I had you marked absent still. Councilmember Barr. Thank you.
Apologies for that, Councilmember Barr, and thanks for getting your vote on the record. The next item on our agenda is an executive session. I thought it might be, we've been talking for nearly 2 hours now, it might be a good opportunity to take a 10-minute break. City Clerk Strickler, would you prefer that we have the discussion and vote into executive session if that's where we're headed, and then take the break? Or would you prefer we take a break now?
Taking the break just before the executive session will allow a little bit more time to get us moved to the executive session. Does that make sense?
Okay. I thought that might be your answer. Okay, so that brings us to agenda item 8, executive session. Item 8.1, in accordance with Alaska Statute 44.62.310.C, number 2, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion. This is the city manager, a 6-month evaluation. It is my understanding, based on our last council meeting, that you were planning to have this discussion in executive session. Is that correct, Interim Manager Williams?
Yes, Mayor DeWitt.
Okay, great. And if at any point you want to come out of that executive session, you have the right to do so. Is there a motion?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, so move, and the... this would be the council members and
Okay, so what I've heard is a motion to move into executive session. Do you want me to read the whole thing, Clerk Strickler? In accordance with Alaska Statute 44.62.310C, number 2, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, city manager 6-month evaluation. And as Council Member Springer stated, those participating will be the city council members and the city manager. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Henderson.
Thank you, Council Member Henderson. All those in favor of going into executive session, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. If anyone wanted to entertain a motion to take a 10-minute break, now would be a great moment.
So moved.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Second?
Second.
Thank you. I think that was Council Member Henderson. All those in favor of a 10-minute break, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, aye. Please say nay. Okay, it is 8:24, so we will be back at 8:34. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.